anything though. My messaging thing is just. I don't know. Is my guest there? Okay. I told you I can't read any messages. There's nothing there. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is, I believe, DJ Prophet. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Vinny. It's an honour to be with you.
Could you please tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do? Because I've been away from a two-week break, and I think I've got about 3 hours sleep. I think I've been up all night editing a wonderful documentary for the Fluoride Action Network, and I just got it finished. And I feel refreshed and pumped, and I can't wait to interview you.
Awesome. Well, the more information that gets out about the negativities of fluoride, the better. No doubt about that.
It's such a good thing.
Great to be on your show, Vinny. I've been following your show now, and you have some great guests on, and I'm very happy to be one of your guests.
Yeah, well, you're going to add to the list, yo.
Okay. American Freedom Radio rocks.
It does. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Fraggle.
Fraggle?
As in Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, I was going to tell you something about yourself, perhaps, because, you know, my name is DJ Prophet. I've been DJ Prophet since 1998. I'm a kind of a tech DJ, you know, like Psytrance, actually, I like to DJ. Are you familiar with that style of music, Psytrance?
Is it the kind of music where, you drop an E and you buzz out to it on the dance floor and such?
Oh, it could be any
hallucinogenic. Yes.
As long as it's hallucinogenic.
Oh, a hallucinogenic trance. Yes, yeah. I'm also familiar with those.
Well, you don't have to be hallucinogenized or anything like that, but, I mean, the music does it itself, really.
Well, as long as it's not hallucinogenics.
I was going to ask you, though, Vinny, because I do a little bit of astrology and I'm familiar with birth signs and stuff, and I'd be interested to know, and I'm sure the audience would be, to know what your birth sign is.
I was born on probably the worst day of the year in terms of, if you ever want anybody to show up to your birthday party, 29th of December, so that would make me a Capricorn.
Oh, my goodness. 29th of December, huh? So right in the middle of the summer for you.
Yeah, I mean, Capricorn. That's the reason I'm so fond of hats and also of corn.
Always got a good joke to tell, that's for sure.
Oh, well, I've always got a joke, whether or not it's good.
Well, I enjoyed meeting your cousin. Oh, anyway, what I was going to say about you, because you think you're a Capricorn, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to think, like, what if it was 6 months away and you were, instead of a Capricorn, you'd be Gemini or Cancerian?
What do you mean?
Because the whole astrology is based in the Northern Hemisphere. The characteristics are based on observation of Northern Hemisphere subjects.
Ah.
And in Australia, I found that anybody born south of the equator, it's flipped. Like, your sign would be the six-month away sign rather than the sign you think it is.
How interesting.
Yeah, because it's based on the progression of seasons. You see, You know, like how the seasons progress, and if you're born like right, I mean, if your mother's impregnated in March, then you'll be born in December, which happened with you. But your seasons are off in Australia; they're completely opposite, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So I thought I'd pass that along to you. I mean, it might trip you out for a little while, so.
I don't know. The relevance really is lost on me, because people have told me I'm a Capricorn and there's such and such aspects to my personality. People have told me that I was born in the year of a snake, therefore I'm charming or something like that. And it's just, I'm still just me.
Yeah. Well, Well, you're doing an amazing thing for the truth movement, I think, and I'm very happy to be a part of it on your show.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is over the holidays I watched this film called The Insider. You know, the one with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
About the whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a bit of an emotional guy, and I overthink things a lot. So naturally, I became a radio show host. And what occurred to me while watching that film is that I'm Al Pacino, right?
Yeah,
I'm the one trying to fight for these whistleblowers and getting a whole bunch of shtick for it, and trying to argue with the scumbags and things like that, just trying to get the truth out because it's important.
Yeah,
and all my guests, these wonderful whistleblowers and people like yourself, they all suffer enormous challenges. You know, maybe not specifically having bullets put in their mailboxes and so on and so forth, but
your computer being bugged and things like that.
Yeah, computer being bugged, threatening emails. But the one thing that actually struck me in particular is how they punish you financially. If you're a truther, if you're a whistleblower, that's how they get you, invariably, is in your pocket, isn't it?
Ooh.
And it overwhelmed me watching this and thinking about it. And it dawned on me just how much of a massive responsibility I actually have to all of these incredible people
who are
sacrificing so much just for ordinary people like you and me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that responsibility has slowly gotten bigger and bigger, hasn't it, as your show has gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and like I say, it just occurred to me when I watched that film over my holiday. You know, I was laid up on the couch for a week. I had what's known as colloquially as a man cold. You know, when a woman gets a cold, she's got a little bit of a sniffle and a little bit of a but when a man has a cold, it knocks you down. It's like being smashed with a bowling ball. And you suddenly become a lot more pathetic. Like, the larger the man is, the more pathetic you become when you're inflicted with a cold.
Yeah.
And I'm 6'4", so you can just imagine how pathetic I was.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that, Vinny. So it is the middle of winter there. Are you, like, experiencing cold temperatures too?
Yeah. It sucks. I really hate the cold. Almost as much as I hate globalism. And unfortunately, globalism doesn't change with the seasons. but what did I do? Oh, yeah. Last 4 days. And if there's any filmmaker out there who can take the Pepsi challenge on this one, cut together 3 documentaries in 3 days on the last 3 days of your holiday. All right, that's what I did. Okay.
Wow.
I was up to, first night, I got to bed at 6:50 a.m. Second night, got to bed at 7:40 a.m. And last night, got to bed at 5:30 a.m.
So oh my! Well, you do your best work overnight. You know that, Vinny.
Yeah, and to be honest, these 3 documentaries that I've made are the best work that I've ever done.
Nice.
One for a guy who's doing a electromagnetic frequencies, and he's coming on the show on this Friday.
Oh, great.
Named Paul Waddle, and he's one of only 3 people, I think, in New Zealand who's actually qualified to test environments for electromagnetic frequency. And I've got a Mac computer and these giant energy saver bulb lighting display where I am, gargantuan TV behind me and everything. So his instruments are going to go off the charts in here when he's going to cook in the seat next to me when he comes in studio.
Yeah.
The other one was a guy named Russell Malcolm who had All right, dig this. Imagine the Prime Minister himself had ordered that you be arrested because you're exposing corruption. And dictates over the phone in the middle of the night, after his bodyguards have woken him up, what your bail conditions are, including you're not allowed to contact any member of parliament at the height of election season. Okay, that's Russell Malcolm.
Kicked him out of house, kicked him out of home.
All of that kind of stuff. This guy's exposing massive, massive levels of corruption within the councils in Auckland, right? And they've fracked him, and nobody else will help. The media won't talk to him, any of these other people. So I got Russell around in my house, right? Set him down in front of the computer, in front of the camera with a microphone, and got him to lay out. He had a 56-page dossier that he read out. Do you have any idea how long it takes to edit 56 pages of dialogue?
Yeah. Well, you got it out there, and now it's there to be seen by, you know, it's in concrete kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's up on air. And he was suffering really a massive emotional trauma as a result of these things that have been done to him.
Yeah, I heard one of his interviews.
And as a result, I made sure to ask him this question yesterday when he phoned me up. I asked him, so Russell, have you felt better now that I've got these videos up for you? And he says, you know what, from time to time, Vinny, things don't seem that bad anymore because you actually, you know, did that for me. And I had this feeling, you know, and it was the reason why I was up so late at night finishing this off is because I felt that it would save his life.
Wow. Okay?
You know, and... Yeah. And in no small fashion, I have. So there's documentary two, and then the third one. There were these three doctors who, like, fluoride's bigly being debated in New Zealand right now because they took it out of the water supply in one of our most major cities, Hamilton.
Oh right.
And so we had three doctors give us slideshow presentations now. Editing slideshow presentations, and this is the very first time I've done this. I had two cameras, so I got my GoPro camera and my other little one on the tripod.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I actually cut in those two different camera angles for these three doctors. So all of those videos are now up online for people to see. Professional, like professional as frack, is basically about as close as I can. Come to describe how well I edited these things. And it's just like the people who are part of the Fluoride Action Network, a lot of them are retired doctors. And the fact that they're willing to come out of their retirement, travel the country, give these presentations in order to get this fracking toxic corrosive poison out of our water. It's just, again, back to the Al Pacino thing. It's like, I'm fighting for you and I'm still fighting. You know, I'm fighting sleep just so I can get this up there. Because
it's like fracking the pituitary gland.
Yeah. I'm just sick of fluoride in the water, man. And you know what I'm sick of more than just the fluoride in the water? Is the scum. These frickin' fluoride-promoting scum who got nothing. Nothing but insults, ad hominem, appeal to authority, BS crap, labeling us all as nutters, and so on and so forth. Just this avalanche of media propaganda, and here's me sitting there realizing that I'm the only media in the country that's actually capable of doing anything of note.
Yeah, you are.
That situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really because I'm so massive. It's because there's just nobody else really doing the radio show every day and having a YouTube channel of any decent size. So yeah, it's just responsibility again. I had to be up late doing that because of a lack of options. All right, well, we've come to the end of the first segment here. DJ Prophet is my guest, and I've spent most of the first segment doing the majority of the talking. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is DJ Prophet. Welcome back.
Thanks, Vinnie.
All right.
So what's on your mind most these days?
You know, honestly, improving the quality of the show. And by improving the quality of the show, what I need to do is improve the quality of myself, the amount of research that I do on my guests and so on and so forth, and take a bit more responsibility. Yeah, it's kind of weighing heavily on me at the same time as being incredibly uplifting. It's an ironic experience.
Just to know the meaning of the word irony is impressive to me.
Yeah. I always thought that black sand beaches were very irony.
I knew there was a joke there somewhere.
There always is with irony. Now,
so I was going to make a suggestion, Vinny, that you come up with a subject of some kind and you ask me a question about that subject and I'll flow with an answer. Because knowledge
that's perfect.
Because
I was thinking the exact same thing. And the subject is you. Who are you and what do you do?
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm a human being anymore, but I'm living in Tallahassee, and I'm basically a DJ, artist, entrepreneur, entertainer, and I run a company called Dream State Productions, and intending to move to Seattle and set up a studio in Seattle called the ABSC Studio, which stands for American British Football Club.
All right.
Yeah. And we're going to be, I have a friend with me. He's an artist friend. He's a famous Dutch artist. His name's Oliver Norden. And he's quite an amazing guy. And we're just trying to raise the vibration here in Tallahassee after being in St. Petersburg for about 10 years.
Is his nickname Ollie Nort? And was he involved in Iran-Contra?
No. Different Ollie Nort. His name's Oliver Norden. That's Belgium, from Holland, yeah. But Queen Beatrix Land, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bilderberg Group stuff.
Yeah.
The Bilderberg Group meeting was in Watford, which is like miles, just a few miles away from where I was raised.
Must have been buzzy thinking about that, eh?
Yeah, well, that was. The Bilderberg meeting in Watford, do you know any word for your guest, what the outcome of that was?
You know, it was interesting. I was supposed to have one guest on the show to talk about Bilderberg, and he decided he wouldn't show up, even though he was there, even though he could have come on. And he thought that I was ignoring him because I wasn't there to answer his messages at 4:30 in the frickin' morning. And he thought I was ignoring him when I wasn't. I was just, you know, asleep because I'm on the other side of the fracking world, you retard. It's very good when that happens, though, because you know how sometimes people treat you really badly and you thank God that they treated you really badly early on in the relationship so you don't have a whole lot invested on it and you can just go block and never hear from the motherfracker again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As well, purging a pimple.
And fracking, you've seen Gasland and Gasland 2. Have you seen Gasland 2?
You know, actually, I haven't even seen Gasland 1, you know. Sadly enough.
That's worth a watch.
But I have interviewed Megan Manuka, who's a local New Zealand activist, who just revealing incredible information about the fracking that's going on in New Zealand. Like, I had no idea. And
really?
There's another Māori female activist as well who did a presentation in front of like three people, and I was luckily enough there to film it and get that up online, and it's had tens of thousands of views or something like that. So yeah, I know a hell of a lot more about fracking than the average person, even though I haven't seen the Gasland yet.
Yeah. Well, Gasland's a little bit slow, a little bit long, but I mean, it does illustrate the whole deal with fracking and stuff, how bad it is.
Yeah, I mean, I love the party trick where you can set your you can set your tap water on fire. I mean, you know, if you're ever in need of a lighter, you know, you've got plenty of cigarettes but no fire. Hey, just turn on the tap, mate. You'll be right.
They set up the plumbing system all around the house. You'd have instant heating. So, are you still there?
Yeah. Gas heating, I believe it's called.
So, New Zealand was, I was very troubled to hear about that huge earthquake you guys had. And were you affected by that at all?
Technically, everybody in New Zealand was affected by it. Not because they were in the earthquake zone, but because they were in the zone where the media dominated every single channel 24 hours a day for like 3 or 4 days talking about this quake. And not once mentioning that there's a heart facility not 15 minutes drive from the city. Not once mentioning that there were 9 US Congress people there on the day, including the head of FEMA.
Really?
Who all got up on a plane 2 hours before the quake hit and left.
You mean the harp hit?
With the exception of the head of FEMA, who for some reason stayed behind to coordinate the attack. I mean, the quake. I mean, recovery effort.
What? I had a really bad feeling about that one.
Talk about the 40 reports of sonic booms coming through the air before the quake hit.
Really?
They didn't talk about the what were reported to be meteors coming through the sky. Basically, there were sections of the sky that were on fire before the quake hit.
What happened?
It was just... There's a stack of harp-related anomalies that the mainstream media are so... Have you noticed that that's what media is really good about? Not getting out information, but making sure information doesn't get out?
Well, I mean, the quicker information is got out about harp and Monsanto, those two subjects I think are the most important ones. Oh no, and chemtrails too. Chemtrails...
I finished my Monsanto song.
Oh, great. I'd love to hear that.
It recorded. It's country opera.
I've got some percussion in the background for you.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I can't play it on FCC-regulated radio, unfortunately, because it's got a few cuss words in it, I think.
Oh, there's a few cuss words in there.
Yeah.
Well, you can do a radio edit and blank those cuss words out, Vinny.
Yeah, well, I did download a couple of those beep, you know those things that they've got on TV where they beep out the swear words?
Yeah. Or you could just do a revised version where you change the word.
Yeah, I think it sounds funnier if it's swearing, though.
Okay.
Yeah. You know how sometimes comedians, they swear a lot, and when they swear, you laugh? All right. It's sort of like that. For some reason, when you take the profanity out of the joke, the joke's not that funny anymore.
Yeah, it fits the subject matter.
You know, it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, to have a sense of humor throughout this, all of what we're going through, is very important. And you know, Norman Cousins, are you familiar with Norman Cousins' Anatomy of an Illness? Comedy. He watched comedy movies in his hospital. He was suffering from a debilitating, life-causing, threatening disease. And he found out that comedy was the only thing that worked to help him to heal himself.
Yeah. Well, that and being stoned while he was watching them.
Yeah. Well, 52% of Americans now... think that marijuana should be legalized, which is, I think, a step in the right direction.
Well, 87% of New Zealanders from the ages of, I think it's 18 to 25 have used it, and 52% of the entire population up to the age of 55, I think, have used it as well. And we have the highest per capita arrest rate in the world for it.
Wow. Well, yeah, and that's why Christchurch was hot, because your conscious levels were becoming too out of the box.
Well, actually, it's a bit simpler than that. There have been two conflicting reports on it, one from Benjamin Fulford in Japan.
Yeah.
He said that on the morning of the quake, and this is the reason why the nine U.S. Congress people were here and the head of FEMA, is they had a private meeting with the prime minister, allegedly, and what was discussed, again, allegedly, during that meeting was negotiating the settlement of 1 million Americans in the South Island of New Zealand. That are going to evacuate the USA because of the Fukushima radiation and so on and so forth. And the Prime Minister refused, and then boom. So I don't know exactly if that is the case, but it fits the profile, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And the Fukushima one, I mean, Benjamin Fulford was all over that about a year and a half before that happened.
I mean, he was
reporting that the HAARP was being threatened on the finance minister before that.
Yeah, he in fact, I was the first person to get him on the radio that day.
Really?
That the Fukushima. He called me.
No way.
No way. He came on air, you know, it was just like, boom. And incidentally, on that same day, we'd scheduled to have another person on named Shannon Phipps, who is, you know, one of these deductive reasoning pieces of trash.
Yeah.
He said, oh, there's no such thing as earthquake weapons. You know, science. We all need to worship science and bow down. Hey, did you know that scientists have discovered that people will believe anything if you claim scientists have discovered it?
Yeah, I saw that. That report. But it's all left brain is science. There's no creativity or compassion involved in that. There's no grace involved in science.
No grace. Yeah. Well, and again, speaking of saying grace, it's a religion now, isn't it? That's what science has become, I think.
Well, that's Scientology. Yeah, that's religion.
I mean, like, belief. Belief is what usually categorizes something into a religion, right? And there's this belief structure that science can explain everything, right? Mm-hmm. That everything makes absolute 100% sense to a scientific mind. That's why they got deductive reasoning. That's why they ignore evidence for 90% of things in existence, is because you can't explain them. And science currently is insufficient at doing them. So what they do is, instead of saying, okay, well, maybe we don't know everything, they say, we know everything, and you're telling me things that we don't know, therefore you're crazy? And I thought to myself, oh, my God, I think the Catholic Church could learn something from these people. Oh, wait, in fact, it's the other way around. Scientists learn something from the Catholic Church. Who came up with the Big Bang Theory exactly? The Catholic Church. What's the Big Bang Theory again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything came out of nothing. Does that not sound like a religious prediction to you?
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Oh, it all goes nothing. The Egyptians, really.
It was everything. Everything came from nothing.
It goes back to the Egyptians, because there's a Cleopatra's Needle in downtown Washington, downtown London, and downtown the Vatican. There's a Cleopatra's Needle. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out after the break, I guess.
All right.
DJ Prophet is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. I want to jump it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is DJ Prophet. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Vinny. It's an honour to be with you. I thought I'd give you a sample of some of the music that I listen to.
All right.
That's Psytrance.
Oh, yeah. I can dig it. I can dig it. In fact, I think I've made a couple of tracks like that.
Have you now?
Yeah. Well, you know when you're messing around with Fruity Loops or GarageBand loops or something like that, and you just come up with this really trippy-ass dance music tracks and stuff like that? So, yeah, I made like a whole album of them.
Oh, nice. You should put that out there, Vinny.
It is out there. Wait.
You're amazing in more ways than one. Yeah. I was going
to
say, too,
I was just wondering, you know, what the hell do I tell people I am now if they ask me, you know, like, I'm a radio show host, I'm a comedian, I'm a filmmaker, I'm a singer, songwriter, I'm a dance music producer, I'm a writer, I'm a, you know, it's
you're
like, what the hell am I?
You're a Cancerian, too. We're birthday brothers, you know that, because my birthday is June 29th, and that transferred over to the Southern Hemisphere would be December 29th.
Ah.
Yeah, so we're brothers.
So, like, you're my Cancer.
No, you should be reading the Cancer astrology chart.
Hey, well, thanks to Fukushima, we're both going to have cancer soon enough.
Indeed. Anyway, well, I was referring back to the Egyptians, you know. Have you seen a movie, a documentary called Ring of Power?
Yes, I have.
Oh,
John
yeah.
John Key's got one.
That's pretty trippy, huh?
Yeah. Was this the Ring of Power, was this the one that was like in 40 different parts or something?
It was 5 hours long, yeah. It had a lot of parts, yeah. But there was...
Yeah.
About, you know, how there's the square mile of London and Washington, D.C. is like its own, it has its own boundaries and stuff, just like the Vatican has its own boundaries. And there, and in the center of those places, there's the Egyptian Cleopatra's Needle. That's an interesting relationship there, I think.
Yeah, and Cleopatra's Needle also featured in a film called From Hell. With Johnny Depp, where Jack the Ripper, who was a high-level Freemason, who was also incidentally the physician to the royal family, murdered a whole bunch of prostitutes because they knew that the one of the royal family had married a prostitute and had syphilis. And so he killed them all really brutally to cover it up in a ritualistic fashion. He killed 5 of them that were, and the locations that he killed them were in the arranged pattern of a pentagram around the city of London with the Cleopatra's Needle, I think, right in the very center of the pentagram. Now, lots of people know who Jack the Ripper is. But they didn't know he was a Freemason for some reason. They didn't know he was the physician to the Queen for some reason.
Oh, really?
That detail doesn't matter.
Well, I recommend all of your listeners watch that Ring of Power just to open up a few, you know, minds and stuff. That has some pretty amazing information in there. Like Zeitgeist, you know, Zeitgeist was a mind-opener for me about 4 years ago.
Yeah. Zeitgeist was a breakthrough film, eh?
Yeah, right.
I think the one thing that really made Zeitgeist stand out, and this is the thing about documentaries, music. You know, being a DJ, you know all about this.
Yeah.
It's so important in order to keep people's attention that it's not just dry. It needs some music behind it. Like we tried to watch... I think my mate Barry, he brought down around the DVD set of David Icke at Wembley Stadium, right?
Okay.
And I think I fell asleep maybe 4 times over the 12 hours or 10 hours or something of that nature of the thing. It wasn't because it was boring.
Yeah.
It's just because it's so long to keep your attention focused on something without any sort of music in the background, nothing to sort of add on to the flavor of it. You know, I'd pass out for like 15 minutes and then wake back up and go, oh, reptilians. And then I think I had three other mates with us as well. They'd pass out intermittently throughout the thing as well. So in order to keep myself awake, I invented the David Icke drinking game. And you can do this at home. You watch the David Icke presentations, and every time he says the word decode, every time he says the word reality, every time, and every time he says the word information, you take a drink. By the end of the first DVD, I was pissed, bro. Oh my god!
You'd have to have a lot of beer.
I did actually run out. Like what's interesting is, you know, if it's doing decode information, he often has those words together. So, like, decoding the information, it's just information. You're like, drink, you know. The David Icke drinking game, you know. Maybe I could sell that to Milton Bradley.
Put that on the market.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, or maybe you could sell the DVDs. And when they get shipped to you, you get a free case of beer.
Yeah.
Maybe there might be a liquor licensing issue.
Mm-hmm. Ask me a question, Vinny. What do you want to know about me?
What woke you up?
What woke me up? Well, buying a computer helped a lot. You know, having a laptop computer. But then I was stuck in a train station in New York City, actually, after being shipped out of the UK. I went to the UK without a forwarding ticket, and even though I was raised in the UK, my mother's English and stuff, they still deported me. And they flew me to New York City. They let me stay for about 3 months, but it was under duress. And then I was transported to New York City, and I had to get down to Florida, and there was a huge storm that came in. It was a snowstorm that held up all the trains. So I was in the train station meeting these guys, and this guy had a computer, and he had Zeitgeist and Food Inc., I think it was the other one, and two interesting documentaries, and that's pretty much what woke me up, you know, having the availability. And then what happened, instead of going down to Florida, I booked a flight back to Europe. I went to Poland. And I lived in Poland for 6 months, and I had nothing to do, no work or anything. I was living in this little castle area, you know, and I had the internet access, and I was just investigating a lot of different ideas, writing some blogs. I wrote a few blogs. One of them was called Clinton, the Red-Nosed Commandeer. That was a good one. If you get to look that one up on Google, that was all about Bill Clinton's obsession with cocaine.
He made a hell of a lot of money of cocaine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he also,
in Arkansas there?
I mean, he had to have septum surgery on the bridge of his nose. And he was a coke freak, you know. And if That's pretty heavy when you got your leaders in Washington, D.C. becoming coke freaks.
Well, he wasn't just a freak for the coke. He was also a freak in the sexual sense of the word as well. He even had a state trooper driving around cruising for, something rhyming with Stussy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that explains the Monica Lewinsky thing too. You know, I mean, when you people do cocaine, they do abhorrent kind of sexual behaviors.
Well, it's what happens when you have power, I think. Mm-hmm. And I've even noticed this myself, because like having a radio show means you've got power, like you've got sway, and people listen to you when you speak, kind of thing. And I'll sometimes get off the radio and I'll just be Randy, you know. Attach myself to the missus like a face hugger.
Yeah. Well,
maybe that was a little bit inappropriate. Moving right along.
Hope you have a girlfriend there, Vinny.
I do. She's in the next room. In fact, she's probably hearing the audio feed. I'll be hearing about it in about 10 seconds when she comes in with the delay. She won't like that. And in terms of activism, have you been to protests or anything like that before?
Well, there was a small rally against Monsanto in Tallahassee just about a month ago, which actually I went to and voiced my opinions about how Monsanto, how evil they are, you know, and all the, you know, the issues that are related to Monsanto.
You know, Monsanto really is about as evil as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, really? I mean, if Satan exists and he owned a company, it would be Monsanto.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's what I reckon anyway. I could be wrong.
There's no compassion there, and it's based on business, the business model alone, and when you have that kind of model and you're running a business or a corporation, I mean, no compassion.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly no ethics in that business model. That's for dang sure. All right, we're coming up to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Prophet is my guest. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show, listening live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or on delayed broadcast on AM, FM stations around New Zealand and archives at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Back in a minute.